All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome in to Daily Faceoff Live, your go-to source for everything hockey, live every weekday at noon Eastern.
Welcome into a Tuesday, April 2nd edition of Daily Faceoff Live, streaming live on the Daily Faceoff YouTube, where we're asking for your inbox questions. So drop those in with the hashtag AskDFO. The show, as always, brought to you by Betano. The game starts now at betano.ca. I'm Tyler Rumchick. He is our Daily Faceoff insider, Frank Saravalli. Frank, how are you doing?
I'm good. We're going all black today. We're going dark.
Yeah. Funeral for... Actually, there were no teams officially eliminated last night, I believe. So that joke ends right there. But anyways, there were a couple
April Fool's games for some really good teams last night, though.
Yeah, a couple of real stunners last night around the NHL. So from a betting perspective, if you were riding with some underdogs on Betano, you probably had yourself a pretty good night. We're going to talk about some of the games that went down last night in the NHL. But first, Frank, let's start with Sidney Crosby. And I mean, anytime anybody matches a Wayne Gretzky record, you need to lead the show with that. He ties Wayne Gretzky for the most number of point per game or better seasons in a career. He does it for the 19th time, Frank. Just another kind of, we'll call it, exclamation point on a remarkable season by Sidney Crosby.
The best, one of the best 36-year-old seasons in NHL history. I mean, the fact that the Penguins are not getting into the playoffs with Sidney Crosby playing this well is a clear indictment on the rest of the roster, really, that Kyle Dubas overhauled this past offseason. It's amazing to see not just 19 point per game seasons in your career or better, but 19 consecutive. So it's one of those Wayne Gretzky records that you looked at and you're probably not, you know, top of mind, like 50 and 39 or some of the other amazing feats that he's accomplished, 200 and some points. But in terms of career longevity and consistency being the model of consistency, Sidney Crosby, look, this is an all-time NHL Mount Rushmore player, and he continues to show it night in and night out. It's not just the personal accolades, the team success, the 3 Stanley Cups, 4 trips to Stanley Cup finals, also the highest earner in NHL history. There's so many different things that you can point to and say what an unbelievable career he's had. And I think the best part is he's not really slowing down or showing any signs of slowing down anytime soon. For my money, he should win the Selke Trophy this year.
Yeah, we talked about that last week. Also, Frank, you left those couple of Olympic golds off Sidney Crosby's resume. I really wanted to make sure you didn't forget about Canada winning gold at the Olympics. But
yeah, how could I possibly forget that? And who would forget the golden goal? It just didn't really have anything to do with his NHL career.
Ah, come on, let me put him in there. He is 6 points away from sliding into the top 10 all-time in NHL scoring. So that'll be the next milestone for Sid as he looks to tie Phil Esposito for 10th all-time. And there are a couple of things that I look at and go, God, it's a damn shame. One, the lockouts and the injuries. If those don't hit for Sidney Crosby, we're talking about a guy who would have been right there to become the second player to ever hit the 2,000-point mark. And if you want to talk about this year, Frank, it really is a damn shame Kyle Dubas couldn't put a better group around him, because if the Penguins were fighting or in a playoff spot, I know there's always the argument of, do you have to make the playoffs to be a Hart Trophy winner? But still, if the Penguins were a little bit better, we'd be talking about a Sidney Crosby Hart Trophy finalist potentially this year.
Probably an outside case. I mean, look, his point total is still impressive, but it's still 40-some points back of the guys that are leading the pack. That's a huge gulf. That's the gulf that we talk about being so impressive between Nikita Kucherov and his Tampa Bay Lightning teammates and Artemi Panarin and his New York Ranger teammates. So I have a hard time believing that he'd be in that MVP category. It's not all about points, but you're right. I mean, they needed this Erik Karlsson trade like a hole in their head, and that's not revisionist history. Go rewind to the DFO rundown in August after the trade was made. I said exactly that at the time. Karlsson was an unnecessary addition. 100-point defenseman isn't what kept the Penguins out of the playoffs last year. And I think the real indictment is Crosby still at this level, the Penguins further back than they were last year. That's the disappointing part.
Yeah, really is disappointing. Let's continue along. Last night, one of the really entertaining games was between the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Florida Panthers, a 6-4 final. And hey, through 40 minutes, Leafs fans were riding high. It was 5-1. They were, I mean, really taking it to a team that they could very well be playing in round one of the playoffs. Third period, obviously a great pushback by the Florida Panthers. Three unanswered goals. It was real tight. And then Austin Matthews put it away with an empty netter, his second of the evening. But Frank, when you look at the fact these two teams could be heading towards a first round matchup, you look at the fact the Leafs were dominant through 40 minutes and they were missing a bunch of really key players. I mean, you look at this IR, Morgan Riley day-to-day, Mitch Marner still not in the lineup, missing a deadline ad in Joel Edmondson as well, Timothy Liljegren, a piece of that blue line. The fact they were able to, as shorthanded as they were, play that well through 40 minutes against the Panthers, I think it sends a little bit of a message that, hey, the Leafs aren't just going to roll over come playoff time. They're not going to be a team that's an easy out for either Boston or Florida in this case.
I agree, and I would say look at the Toronto Maple Leafs. I pick whatever timeline you want. I prefer the Ridly Gregg empty net and the ensuing suspension that came from it. 17-6-1 since then. The Leafs have played really well, better than many would expect. There are still inconsistencies. I think it's really clear that there's some flaws with this roster, but what I like about the Leafs heading into the playoffs is that the pressure's off. Of all these years, the last handful, when they're expected to make a run, can they finally get out of the first round? All these different question marks that had existed, they slayed that first round dragon last year, got that off of its back. And now they head into this year when Florida and Boston are clearly a class above them without really any pressure. No one's saying the Leafs have to do this season or else, like they've been staring down the last few years. Maybe that's an opening for the Leafs to poke through. Now, I think for that to happen, I think a best case scenario is that the Leafs get Boston in round one. That's just my opinion. Last night's results notwithstanding, I think Florida is the tougher out. And you'd have to face them in round two anyway, but maybe, just maybe, for a team that's, you know, competing and playing pretty well, this is one of those weird years that you never know what happens in the Stanley Cup playoffs for a team that isn't going to be squeezing its stick as hard as they have been. And Schvinkter's being incredibly tight at Scotiabank Arena. Maybe this is the year.
Yeah. Sometimes just that lack of expectations can open a team up, and we know Toronto's had their demons. So
look at the Caps and how many years they were counted on to be a team that makes a deep run. They finally break through in 2018. Yeah, 2018. Mm-hmm. That wasn't their best team. That wasn't the team that everyone was saying, oh, this is the year the Caps are going to win it all. That was like 6 years prior to that. Sometimes it's just about being in the race and having a chance, an opportunity. Not predicting that the Leafs are going to go deep. I'm just saying there's a different vibe and aura around this team, and I like the way that they've played over the last 6 weeks.
Yeah, Joel's in the YouTube chat says any team that gets in could pull off an upset in round one. That is usually the case in the NHL, and I think this year it could be even more heightened, especially when you look out west and how close together all those teams seemed lumped.
How much is really separating the Leafs and the Bruins? Like, if you were to look at the odds heading into the playoffs, like, is it probably going to be 55-45 shaded to Boston?
Yeah, probably.
Not that much more than that. I mean, we're talking about a relative coin flip, I think. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little different against Florida, but you never know.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of the Stanley Cup playoffs. You never know. The Philadelphia Flyers, they are just trying to hold on and get in. And it was a disappointing OT loss last night in Philadelphia, and it led to some more spicy comments from John Tortorella. Let's take a listen in.
That was kind of what you felt like. Wasn't a great performance. Are you concerned at all that tonight it kind of lingered again, that you just said it was a soft game per se?
Not the whole game and not the whole group. There are certain people that they don't have a clue how to play, or just don't have it in them to play in these type of situations. And this is why I'm glad we're playing them. I'm glad, because we have to figure things out as far as what we're going to become as a team here. That was embarrassing in the second period for the Philadelphia Flyer uniform, the way we played. Embarrassing. High marks as far as how we came back in the third.
It was a spicy one from Torts, Frank. He's not afraid to go to that level. And I mean, clearly calling specific, or he doesn't get specific, but he clearly has names in mind when he makes those comments.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like a huge chunk of that was directed toward Morgan Frost and his turnover in OT, which, even though he's the guy that's, you know, scores the game tying goal with 9 seconds left, sort of gives it back that extra point to the Islanders. Look, here's the thing. The Flyers are 7-15 since the All-Star break. They've dealt with a mountain of injuries. They had their top goalie basically get arrested and leave the team. They've had some players like Sean Walker traded away. They've been in a tough spot this last number of months. And as much as I enjoy the quote and the bravado and the compete and the energy from John Tortorella, what I would really like is a healthy dose of perspective if I were a Flyers fan. Because through all these things, even last night, the Islanders probably should have scored at least one empty net goal to ice that game. The Flyers continued to work, continued to compete. They dominated the last 2 minutes in terms of creating some great looks and chances, and finally dig through and get the game-tying goal to send it to OT. They don't quit. And they're severely undermatched, or overmatched, I should say, on a nightly basis with the talent disparity between themselves and the other teams in the league. And instead of sitting back at this point and saying they've hung on as long as they possibly can and are still in a playoff spot, it's, you know, it's the continual hammer is being dropped. And I think part of that is building the culture. And I think that's, you know, that's great. And it is important to find out things about some of your players that you have, whether they can or can't do it in that situation. And even if you think that they can't, to at least get that experience under their belt.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
But man, I give this actual roster full marks. Yeah, I know they've lost five in a row. Two OT losses are part of that. So 0-3-2. But I look at this team and I don't see quit for 1 second. So I don't know that there's really all that much to be upset about. And for a team that no one had any expectations heading into this year, if someone had told you in October that you'd be in a playoff spot with 2 weeks to go in the season, everyone would be taking that. So maybe just tone down the emotion and compete. As great as the soundbite is, it's an embarrassment to wear a Philadelphia Flyer uniform. I don't know. Feels like a bridge too far.
Just quickly before we move off the Flyers, last night we saw the debut of Ivan Fedotov. Torts actually started his presser by saying just this. He goes, soft. One guy played, the goalie. And that goalie was Ivan Fedotov, who looked pretty good, Frank.
Yeah, and by the way, they're calling him Fedotov.
Fedotov, sorry.
I've been calling him Fedotov for years, so this is going to be a significant adjustment for me. Humongous first opportunity that he sees in the NHL, a Matt Barzal breakaway. Big guy, tied for the tallest goalie in NHL history. As Steven Ellis, who we'll get to in a second, pointed out, the Florida Panthers signed a guy today, 6'8", that could be eventually the tallest goalie in NHL history. But a large, large man makes his NHL debut at long last for the Flyers, who, you know, even as this was, you know, in the works the last couple weeks, getting him over here, couldn't really breathe any sigh of relief until someone picked him up at the airport and confirmed that he was on American soil, because I don't know if they were convinced that it would actually happen.
Yeah, a good moment there for the Flyers organization, who, and you alluded to it earlier, they need the depth between the pipes, so that's good. All right, let's continue our post-mortem series before we get to Steven Ellis. We're working our way through all the teams that have been officially eliminated from the NHL playoffs, and today's focus is on Connor Bedard and the Chicago Blackhawks. Frank, year one of Bedard, of the Bedard era, I should say, is about coming to a close. And as we head into this summer, the Hawks have a boatload of cap space, and they only have a handful of key free agents that they really need to consider looking at. When you look at how Kyle Davidson's going to approach things this summer, I'll ask you a two-parter. Where do you think his focus will be? Will it be on free agency and adding more veterans? Will he go to the trade market, maybe look to bring in someone who's a little bit younger but can play and impact this team? And also, does the draft lottery affect his approach?
The draft lottery could, because let's just say, hypothetically, what if the Blackhawks win the draft lottery and Macklin Celebrini? Then you can go Bedard Celebrini down the middle, which is just unbelievable way to rebuild and restart a franchise. But then the next part of that is that they wouldn't be able to win the lottery for a number of years, because they would have won it twice in a five-year span. So that's the limit of what you can win by the draft lottery rules. So maybe that would speed things up a bit. But to answer the first part of your question, I think it's going to be a blend of both. I think they're going to be looking on the trade market. Part of the issue that they have is that there isn't a whole ton that they'd be willing to trade. And then the rest of their roster or organization is kind of just, no offense, scraps, that it's hard to really entice, entice everyone. So that part is, you know, a little bit difficult on the trade front. They've got the picks, obviously, if they want to try and do it, but they want to try and utilize those as much as they can. So part of it will come down to free agency. Part of it will come down to, you know, getting their hands on some vets that they can trust. And if you think about the way this season unfolded, it kind of evaporated right in front of their eyes. You signed Taylor Hall, great start for him, and all of a sudden he's injured. Corey Perry, bring him in to be a leader, his contract ends up getting terminated. So the guys that they did bring in that they liked, Nick Foligno, they extended, Peter Mrazek, they extended. They're in a spot where they've got to pay, and they want to try and better insulate Connor Bedard to take, and their other young guys, to take the next step forward. So I like the building blocks of what Chicago has at their disposal, Frank Nazar, and you look at on the back end, Kevin Korchinski. Like, these guys are taking real meaningful steps in addition to Bedard. I think you're going to see one more really tough season next year. And then I think 2026, they'd like to be a lot closer to the playoffs and challenging for that spot.
Could be an interesting summer in Chicago. And again, Hawks fans hoping for the second straight year the lottery balls fall their way. If you head to dailyfaceoff.com, we're updating that draft lottery watch every single morning. Let's move along to our big segment today and get to Stephen Ellis with the next wave. The next wave is delivered by DoorDash. You can check out the all-new Double Dash feature, which allows you to add a second stop onto your DoorDash order for no extra delivery fees. And if you're a listener in Canada, you can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code Nation25. Our man Stephen Ellis, our prospect analyst from Daily Faceoff, joins us for the next wave. Stephen, yesterday we talked about a couple of recently eliminated prospects in the NCAA tournament who are grabbing the attention of NHL teams, but you're the prospect man, so I want to ask you, which guy who's recently been bounced from the NCAA tournament is catching your eye?
Well, first off, Tyler, since you follow the Oilers, Mikko Koskinen retired. I don't know if you noticed that today. So some Finnish outlets were reporting that today. Obviously, a bit of a weird career there. And he wore number 19. You don't see that for goalies often. obviously, a lot of talk about Jimmy Snuggerud, a guy I'm really high on. But the one that I'm very interested in here is Jackson Blake. And that's a Carolina Hurricanes prospect. Someone that he had a very good draft season with the Chicago Steel, but I don't think anyone kind of saw the numbers he was going to put up at North Dakota. He had 42 points as a rookie. He had 60 points this year. He was in the scoring hunt the entire season. So the thing about here is like, okay, what happens? Will he turn pro? I know some people think that he might, some think he won't. With those numbers, you look at there and say, what does he have to prove at this point? Because those are good numbers. Obviously, they've now come short twice now at the University of North Dakota in terms of going to the national title game. I think that's something he would probably like to have another chance at. Also, if the Carolina Hurricanes, it's like they don't have an AHL affiliate next year. So if he doesn't make the Hurricanes, which I don't think he would next year, where does he play? So that kind of complicates things a little further there. So it'll be interesting to see what they end up doing there. And I don't know, Frank, if you got any insight on that. But with Blake, I think that the talent there is ready for him to go turn pro. I think he's got all the talent in the world. Maybe one of the better late round draft picks that the Hurricanes have picked up the last couple of years. And they're really good at that. But yeah, it'll be interesting to kind of see what happens there.
So they don't have an AHL affiliate yet. I know that there's a lot of peace talks going on to see if they could broker a connection between the Chicago Wolves and Canes again. We'll see if that happens, but I don't know that they could go another season. It's certainly less than ideal being the only NHL team without an AHL affiliate. They tried to buy other AHL teams. They tried to plead with the league to, you know, create a new 33rd franchise. The AHL is not going down that path. So we'll see if they can put the genie back in the bottle. But when it comes to the free agent hunt, undrafted free agents, there's been so much talk about Colin Graf from Quinnipiac, you know, being the number one guy. With all due respect, I think the number one undrafted free agent in terms of ceiling is Jacob Quillen, who ends up going to the Toronto Maple Leafs yesterday, a Nova Scotia kid. What's his ceiling?
Yeah, I think with Quillen, you know, you're not going to get a guy who's going to go out there and put 40, 50 points in the NHL. What he is going to do is put in a full 200-foot effort every single game. And I think for Leaf fans now, you're seeing that. Maybe look at a slightly more skilled Pontus Holmberg, who I was a big fan when he came over. He had some really good seasons in Sweden before making the trek over to the NHL. I thought he's looked good in his time with the team. With Quillen, he'll be starting with the Toronto Marlies. I think it'll be a good opportunity for him to kind of get used to the pro game. He's improved a lot. You know, last year he had 38 points. This year he had 46. Not a huge jump in offense, but the real thing there was how reliable he was at every zone there. I think it became clear, you know, when he was not putting up a ton of points as a freshman at Quinnipiac, that he was going to have to find other ways to be effective. And he's done that by, again, being a very good defensive forward. He's willing to get physical, doesn't get take a lot of penalties, isn't making dumb mistakes. He's really smart, and he could play with anyone, play in any scenario, play on the power play, play to the penalty kill, play to Colin Graf, again, the guy that everyone's been talking about right now, linked to a few teams. But with Quillen, it was funny. I was at the Leafs game last night talking to some people about him. It's like, yeah, he'd be actually a really good fit for this Leafs team. And I kid you not, I don't know, 30 seconds later, the official signing comes out. And it's like, oh, okay, well, good timing there. But I think I'm very high on him. I wouldn't have had him maybe number one or number two in this year's free agent crop, but he was definitely close up there because, again, not a huge offensive ceiling, but he does so many other things that will make him very valuable to the Leafs, at least in the short term.
Yeah, a lot of people were saying, why would an undrafted free agent sign with a good team? You have less opportunity, whereas you could go to the Sharks or pick another team that might be interested and step right into the NHL and play. For me, I think, A, you want to play with really good players, and B, look at the Leafs. Their bottom six is not lighting the world on fire. And if you're the Leafs, you always need guys that are making league minimum or just about on an entry-level contract that at least presents them a better opportunity to get into the lineup with the stars that they have. But I digress. Macklin Celebrini, we just touched on him. Man, what if the Chicago Blackhawks could add him as he moves on to the Frozen Four with Boston University? You've got a story coming out on him on Wednesday, sizing up his fantastic freshman season. What are you going to tell us?
Well, here's a quote that I got from a scout yesterday. What he's showing in college, he's showing how complete of a player he is. Dare I say, maybe even more complete than Connor Bedard. Now, Connor Bedard, obviously, you see what he's able to do. I still will say Bedard is definitely the number one compared to him and Celebrini in terms of, you know, prospect rankings from between those two. But with Celebrini, he does put in the effort everywhere. And I think a big question mark with Bedard specifically in his Calder race this year is just how not great defensively he is, especially when you see like Brock Faber doing what he's doing in Minnesota. But with Celebrini, defensively, he's awesome. And then you see these numbers here, 32 goals, 64 points, one of the most productive seasons we've ever seen from a freshman. And I believe he's now third in scoring all time among U17 player, 17-year-old players, I should say. And the two guys ahead of him are guys that played in the 70s and 80s. And, you know, that alone, you just look at that, and it's like college hockey was nowhere near the same back then. Goalies weren't good. The best players weren't going to go play college. It's a much stronger game right now. We're seeing a lot of the top prospects. Like, I was at the OHL Cup final this past weekend, and a lot of the top prospects that usually would have been locked for the OHL, it looks like they're all going to be going to the NCAA instead. So that's continuing to be a very interesting thing there. But with what Celebrini's done this year, it's just incredible numbers. He's just one of the hardest working players. And you look at him at, you know, the U18s last year, the World Juniors this year, someone that has always had to play against older competition and is always one of the best players no matter what. So he didn't lead the NCAA in scoring this year, but given that he missed time to go join Canada's World Junior team, that he had that injury at the start of the year, he'd be my pick for the Hobey Baker, and he is a top 10 finalist. We will know in the coming days who the final three are. I think he should be there because I just think this guy just, he's special. I don't know what else to put it other than he's special. Again, Bedard I still think's better, but Celebrini is a number one pretty much every year in the draft. Otherwise, he's just that good.
Yes or no answer. If Celebrini was eligible for last year's draft, would it have been Bedard, Celebrini, Carlson, Fantilli in that order?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like what Fantilli did last year in college was unbelievable, but what Celebrini's doing as a younger player this year is more remarkable. So I 100% think that's how it'd be.
Let's quickly wrap up with this. Give me your Frozen Four champion prediction.
It wasn't easy for the Boston College Eagles to kind of get to where they were in the regionals. It almost looked like it was going to be over for them, but a team with Will Smith, Ryan Leonard, Gabe Perreault, Cutter Gauthier, and an elite goalie in Jacob Fowler, they're the top team all year long. That's the group I'd be going with right now. I just think they got too much talent to back off. So Johnny Lazarus had a good piece last week kind of looking at how strong this team is, and I would not be betting against them.
The next wave delivered by DoorDash. Thanks, Steven.
Thanks so much.
Moving along, Daily Faceoff inbox question, hashtag AskDFO. Frank, I can't believe this is a question, but I'll float it your way anyways. Matthews needs 8 to get to 70. We know he can score hat tricks in bunches. Percent chance he does it?
8.
8% chance to get 8 goals in 8 games. That seems fitting.
I don't know. It's probably a little, it's probably closer to like 15 or 20.
Yeah, probably. I mean, again, 8 goals in 8 games seems daunting. You rattle off one hat trick in there.
Yeah, he's a hat trick machine too, and he scores them so nonchalantly.
Yeah. All right, let's move along to our daily bets for the day, brought to you by Betano. The game starts now at betano.ca. A couple of plays for this evening, so let's jump into it, starting with my shot prop parlay. Frank, I got over 1.5. Luke Evangelista, shots on goal. He's hit this one in 4 straight. He's been on an absolute run. It's actually been 9 of 10 for him. And then Connor Zeri is part 2 of the parlay at -167. Play them together. It is +143. My straight bet for the day, the Washington Capitals are road dogs taking on the Buffalo Sabres. The Capitals 6-3-1 in their last 10. The Sabres are under 500 straight up as a home team this year. I have no problem rolling with a Washington team that should be incredibly hungry this evening. So there you go. 2 bets for our friends at Betano. 19 plus. Please play responsibly. All right. Garbage time, brought to you by Wendy's and the Daily Faceoff Survivor game. Are you still alive, Frank?
I am not. I took the Florida Panthers to beat the Leafs. So
I took a blind shot yesterday on the Pittsburgh Penguins to score more than 3.5 goals on Igor Shesterkin. I literally closed my eyes and picked one. And son of a bitch, it worked. So I'm still alive today. I'm going to roll with Buffalo under 3.5 goals. You can play today at dailyfaceoffsurvivor.com. And you can head to Wendy's for the all-new Cinnabon pull-apart and small coffee, all fresh for only $5. Order today on the Wendy's app. Frank, garbage time. And we're having technical problems with the clip, but there was a Artemi Panarin reference on Curb Your Enthusiasm in the new season. Unbelievable show. Unbelievable that Artemi Panarin, referenced as the bread man, gets a shout-out.
Yeah, look, we know Larry David is a hockey fan and a Ranger fan, but the conversation with his ex-wife Cheryl, just about hugging and cuddling after sex, and he said, like, you know, if you wanted to talk to me about Breadman making an unbelievable play, like, yeah, I'd be down to talk about that. He's like, I'm a man, I don't say things like that. So that's the gist of it. It's so good. Really an unreal clip, and love the Breadman and Panarin reference in Curb. It's been a great final season of Curb, if it ends up being a final season. And I just can't get enough of Larry David. It's everything that he says feels like everything that I'm thinking that I can't say.
Yeah, it's been an unreal season of Curb. Unreal season for Artemi Panarin, the Breadman, and the New York Rangers, who are in the driver's seat to win the President's Trophy. That is a wrap on today's edition of the show. John Goins will be by with the coach's room tomorrow, so we'll chat with you then, noon Eastern.
Thanks for tuning in to Daily Faceoff Live. Make sure you hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with 4 questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful, because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh Nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.